NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Am Mikrofon ist Paul Baskerville und in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Jason Williamson mein Gast. Er kommt gleich zu Wort, Jason von Sleeper Mods. Hier ist erstmal Musik von dem neuen Album Eaten Alive. Hier ist Kebab Spider. Kebab Spider von Sleeper Mods von dem Album Eaten Alive. Right, well, how are you doing, Jason?
I'm good, yeah. How are you?
I'm fine. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, and thank you for the invite.
Well, to start off, we just heard Kebab Spider,
okay.
The first single from the new album, Eaten Alive. And, I mean, you don't disappoint in the sense that there's a consistency there, like one of the lines in that song, looking for jobs, shit wages, that kind of thing, you know. Do you actually feel that your basic attitude and approach to music is the same as it ever was? Has there been a shift of emphasis, do you think, over the years?
Only perhaps in the sense that there's perhaps more singing the ongoing thought that I can't repeat myself vocally. And that's it, really. Andrew's music, it takes care of itself. Every time he presents something new, it seems to have moved on. It seems richer. It seems more mature. And I think with post-Key Markets, with the last album, English Tapas, and this one, there's been a maturity in the vocal as well, in how I approach it. And to a larger extent, in the lyrics as well, perhaps, more so with this one, you know.
And does this extra maturity and the richness, is that something you actually had to work at consciously? Has it just happened automatically? Because you've been working together for so long now.
Sure. Yeah, it just happened automatically, really, in the sense of I got into new things, new influences, inspirations. So I wanted to transfer those over to the music. And that started happening, as I said, with English Tapas, with a few of the more poppier stuff on there. And that has kind of come full circle almost with the new stuff on Eaten Alive.
It's interesting you're saying kind of your influences, like new influences and things like that, because people tend to think of you as being extremely, what's the word for it, kind of just full of like self-will, not really bowing down to making compromises of any sort and actually sounding like anybody else. Really doing your own thing. That's what you've become well known for. So it's actually interesting to know that you've got influence, that maybe you're a fan somewhere of other music as well.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. We're musicians, essentially. So it just so happens that the way I transfer my influences to my own abilities happens to have come out like it does, you know.
Right.
But I was a singer for a very long time in guitar bands, and I was trying to mimic my influences too much, and it was just totally unoriginal. And it wasn't until I got into hip hop and grime and started to experience more harsher living conditions that the music transformed into Sleaford Mods.
Right. Okay. And these harsher living conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, things will have got a bit more comfortable these days, won't it? Of course.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But you said like that cutting edge came from the harsher living conditions. But when life gets more comfortable, is it still easy to maintain that sharpness?
Well, there's been an awakening that came with the experiences from sort of mid-90s onwards for me. They're also tagged alongside these constant experiences of hardship, of self-destruction, of inefficiencies as various inefficiences as a human being.
Your own inefficiencies.
And what came with that was also an awakening, so to speak, a kind of clearer perception. Things became, as I've said, more clearer in the sense of the corruption that is rife in our country and, you know, most other countries, I guess. My antennae was directed more towards political thoughts and observations and how, you know, they crafted the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, you know.
Jason meint, es gibt mehr Gesang als früher. Ich mag mich nicht gerne wiederholen, sagt er. Die Musik von Andrew versorgt sich selbst irgendwie. Bei jedem neuen Kapitel dieser Band scheint der Sound reicher und reifer geworden zu sein. Und schon auf dem letzten Album English Tapas ist der Gesang ausgereifter geworden, die Texte ebenfalls. Und er sagt, ich wäre nicht hier, wenn ich kein Fan wäre, wir sind schließlich Musiker. Ich habe auch meine Einflüsse, die ich halt auf ungewöhnliche Weise umsetze. Und ich war lange Zeit ein Sänger in Gitarrenbands. Und damals habe ich andere Künstler eher nachgeahmt und war nicht im geringsten originell. Erst als ich mich mit Hip-Hop und Grime beschäftigt habe, hat sich was bei mir geändert. Und als es mit Sleeper-Mas losging, hatte ich ziemlich krasse Lebensbedingungen, die schwer zu bewältigen waren. Das hat auch den Charakter der Musik von Sleeper-Mas stark geprägt. Und er sagt, es war wie ein Erwachen. Mitte der 90er Jahre hatte ich noch was Selbstzerstörerisches und ich hatte insgesamt so viele Charakterschwächen. Und das war alles mit harten Lebensumständen verknüpft. Und irgendwann wurde ich sensibler und bekam eine andere, klare Wahrnehmung. Und mir wurde bewusst, wie korrupt die Politik sei. Ich habe mich dann politisch sensibilisiert und habe dann über Menschen geschrieben, die sich am unteren Ende der Gesellschaft befinden. Und hier ist jetzt ein Stück, wieder ein Stück von dem Album Eaten Alive. Hier ist Firewall Mix. Firewall Mix von Sleeper-Mas von dem neuen Album Eaten Alive.
It's interesting really because if people didn't know anything about you, they'd probably assume it was kind of like young men's music, like the angry young men.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, even if it's getting more mature now. But nonetheless, sure. It's the kind of thing it's like Paul Weller when he was 21. And it's interesting because obviously you're not that young anymore. You've maintained that level of anger, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a refusal to do anything that's cliched, really, and stereotypical. Sleeper-Mas sort of woke me up to the fact that things don't have to be that way, you know. Things don't have to be middle of the road. Things can be totally off the scale and yet still be interesting and still connect to people with a good message, you know, without any pretense, you know, without any of that stupidity. So yeah, I mean, in England, we are angry old men to a lot of people. People automatically see that, you know, regardless of any images that accompany the music, that it's sung by two oldish blokes, you know what I mean? So, see, it's interesting you say that.
Yeah. And of course, the new album's called Eaten Alive. Uh-huh. I mean, not all Germans will know about Eaton School. But,
No.
So, but obviously, you know, I can explain it to them. That's not a problem. You don't have to explain that.
Sure.
But obviously, so there's that pun there, Eaten Alive.
Uh-huh.
And it seems particularly relevant to talk about politics in Britain. Obviously, just at the moment, it's almost hilarious, the timing.
Yeah.
When you think about just what's going down over the last couple of days in England.
Sure.
And does it seem like, did English Tapper seem to be like a pre-Brexit album and this is your post-Brexit album?
Thank you very much for that. I mean, it's been lambasted for being a bit obvious by a couple of individuals, you know. The fact that everyone is well aware of Eaton and is this a bit dated because Brexit happened 3 years ago. But, you know, Brexit's still going on. It's not even happened yet. It's not even been finalised yet, whether it will or not. Who knows, you know. But it talks about, I like the kind of naive kind of you posh bastards type thing, you know, that the lower classes will always address the upper classes as, you know, and it's I quite like that about it. It reminded me of the mid-70s punk stuff, you know, the kind of street level lobbyism without the pretense of long words and philosophical notions, you know. But also at the same time, you know, there are these policies that engineered that came through under the banner of austerity were partly engineered by people that were educated at Eton College, you know.
Right.
And it's a comment on the fact that we are still being chewed up by mechanics that have originated from the small minds of these privileged few, you know.
Und Jason meinte, ich weigere mich, irgendwas Klischeehaftes zu machen. Als ich mit Sleeper-Mas anfing, war es mir klar, dass man es anders machen kann. Man muss nicht gemäßigt sein, man kann skurril sein und dennoch interessant sein und Menschen mit einer guten Botschaft erreichen, ohne Anmaßung, ohne Dummheit. In England gelten wir für viele als zornige alte Männer. Wir sind nämlich schon oft dafür angemacht worden, dass der Albumtitel Eaten Alive so offensichtlich sei. Der sei quasi Schnee von gestern, weil jeder die Geschichte von der Schule Eaton kennen würde und Brexit sei sowieso vor 3 Jahren passiert. Aber Brexit ist immer noch nicht eingetreten. Mir gefällt halt die Art, wie die Arbeiterklasse die Schule von Eaton auch heute noch als hochgestochene Arschlöcher bezeichnet. Es erinnert mich an den Straßenlobbyismus der Punkmusik der 70er Jahre. Kurz und bündige Aussagen ohne große philosophische Gedanken. Der Albumtitel Eaten Alive sollte auch vermitteln, dass die weit verbreiteten wirtschaftlichen Sparmaßnahmen zum Teil von den Politikern angeordnet wurden, deren Ausbildung auf der Eton-Schule abgeschlossen wurde. Wir sind Opfer der Kleingeistigkeit dieser privilegierten Minderheit. Hier ist jetzt Negative Script von dem neuen Album Eton Alive von Sleaford Mods.
Okay, so what song would you like to hear next from the album then? Is there a particular favorite of yours, which you think is particularly relevant maybe about what we've just been talking about?
You could play, I guess, Into the Pay Zone, which talks about this even more refined way of living, leave the house, leave your piece of private property to travel into the pay zone, which is the city or the town. You consume, you buy things, put them in bags, you get back in your car, you drive back to your private property, and it goes so forth like that. The channels of existence are becoming ever more isolated.
Und Jason sagt, Into the Pay Zone ist ein kritisches Lied über den Mittelstand. Es handelt von einer Person, die in den Vororten lebt und regelmäßig in die Großstadt fährt, um teure Konsumgüter zu kaufen. Sie fährt zurück zum ihren Eigenheim und hat während des ganzen Tages keine sozialen Kontakte. Die Wege des Lebens führen immer mehr in die Isolation, sagt er. Und hier ist das besagte Stück Into the Pay Zone von dem Album Eton Alive von Sleaford Mods. Into the Pay Zone von dem Album Eton Alive, das neue Werk von Sleaford Mods. Und mein Gast heute ist Jason Williamson von Sleaford Mods.
Yeah, but the idea of this minimalism sort of in the terms of arrangements, and it always used to be the case, like the punk days, the idea was keeping it really simple, keeping it really pure, as a statement about all the kind of music that the musicians didn't like all the bombastic music of the time.
Sure, yeah.
So it was kind of like a stance against that. I mean, is what you do a stance against Ariana Grande, you know what I mean? Or is it not that conscious?
It was initially, because initially there wasn't anything before we started, really. There was a few bits and bobs that were mildly interesting, aside from grime, obviously, which kind of kicked off in the early noughties. But apart from that, really, for me, in England, there wasn't anything. So it was a reaction against the X Factor culture that was prevalent then, really big then, and the ongoing obsession with Brit guitar bands, with the kind of lad culture thing. And it was all just a bit boring, you know. So back then it was, but now, I don't know, minimalism, as we've taken it and made it a little bit popular, and I'm still taken by bands who conduct their music in that manner, but I'm aware of the fact that the market will change, tastes will change, and it will feel like it needs to change at some point.
So we're going to hear another song from the album now, Eaten Alive, which I find particularly interesting, When You Come Up To Me.
Okay.
Because I thought it sounds a bit kind of something slightly different for you. Is there any particular significance to that for you? I mean, do you actually see it as a somewhat different approach, a different song?
Well, Andrew said, I've got this really poppy song, and I'm like, bring it on, let's have a look, because I was getting really into soul and stuff and 80s R&B, and when he sent it over, I put a vocal on it that was like that, a sort of whoa sort of thing, but it just didn't work. I wanted it to work so much, but it didn't. So what I did with the melody that I had, I took it right down to the bottom of that note without trying to sound like an idiot. You know, I took it right, I stripped it right down, and I went as low as I could, and it worked, you know what I mean? I'm still a bit unsure about whether it's any good, but it does feel good. It rolls and rolls and builds up slowly towards the end, and you've got the backing vocals at the end and the piano that comes in, and I think it's quite a powerful song.
I think it's powerful as well. Well, I also think it's also a good sign of obviously how you're still interested in pushing the music forward, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the only way. You can't not. You know, you can afford to languish for a couple of albums. You can get away with that, but after that, forget it. You've got to push it on. You know what I mean?
And Jason sagt, am Anfang war es tatsächlich so, dass wir eine Anti-Haltung hatten gegen jeden und alles. Es gab damals kaum was Interessantes, bis auf Grime-Musik, die in den früher Nullerjahren losging. Unsere Musik war eine Reaktion gegen die Talent-Nachwuchs-Wettbewerbe im Fernsehen und gegen die abgedroschenen Gitarrenbands und deren lauten, prahlerischen Lebensstil. Und das war alles so langweilig. Und unsere minimalistische Herangehensweise war was anderes. Und wir haben diesen Sound ein bisschen salonfähig gemacht. Und wir hören gleich das Stück When You Come Up To Me von dem neuen Album. Und Jason sagt, dass Andrew zu ihm gesagt hätte, ich habe ein ganz poppiges Lied geschrieben, When You Come Up To Me. Und das passte gerade, weil Jason gerade viel Soul und 80er Jahre R&B gehört hatte. Und er sagt, ich habe versucht, die Art von Gesang nachzumachen, aber das hat nicht geklappt. Und dann habe ich das Lied so tief wie möglich gesungen und so funktioniert es, sagt er. Er sagt, ich weiß nicht, ob es wirklich gelungen ist, aber es fühlt sich gut an. Und es ist ein kraftvolles Lied und es ist ein Beweis dafür, dass Sleaford Mods sich weiterentwickeln. Man kann es sich für eine Weile leisten, künstlerisch auf der Stelle zu treten, aber irgendwann muss man den Sound vorantreiben. Und hier ist jetzt When You Come Up To Me von dem Album Eaten Alive von Sleaford Mods. When You Come Up To Me von dem Album Eaten Alive von Sleaford Mods.
I think what's interesting is that there's something unrelentless about Sleaford Mods. It never actually eases up. And I think that is quite an achievement in itself, because it must put you under a lot of pressure, really, to kind of keep up the pace, keep up your own pace in terms of intensity.
A little bit, but not. I try to put the pressure at the back of my mind. It is there, of course it is, because you obviously are aware of why the crowd like you. You know, when you sat down and you're doing new recordings, and it's, you try and put that to the back of your mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Do you think it's more difficult these days to gauge artistic merit? Like 30, 40 years ago, it would have been a possible scenario, obviously, to go on stage with a laptop and a microphone, you know what I mean? You would have had, like, just guitars and drums and keyboards, and that'd be it.
Sure.
And now, of course, everything's become blurred in that respect.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a gifted musician. You don't have to go to music school to be able to form a band and make music. And how do you feel about that? Do you actually think in terms of your own artistic merit or achievement or whatever, or ability?
Yeah, you do. You kind of, you're aware of the fact that you've created something that has caused a reaction. Whether or not that clings to time, to the timeline of musical accomplishment, is, it remains to be seen, you know. I'm hoping it does. And from my point of view, we're in the same category as all the real, you know, the proper English bands, like the Specials, the Jam, you know, Roses, Stone Roses, to a certain degree Oasis, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Ian Dury, you know, I would say that we are, you know, I'd like to think that we would hold our own in that category, you know what I mean?
Jason sagt, ich versuche zu verdrängen. Natürlich ist es einem bewusst, warum das Publikum einen mag. Man weiß, dass man was geschaffen hat, das gewisse Spuren hinterlassen hat. Ob man in der fernen Zukunft unsere Musik nachträglich als eine große künstlerische Leistung beurteilen wird, bleibt dahingestellt, sagt er. Hoffentlich ja. Aus seiner Sicht gehört diese Band Sleaford Mods schon zur Kategorie von wichtigen englischen Bands, wie The Specials und The Jam, Stone Roses, Oasis, Ian Dury. Und er sagt, ich hoffe, wir können mit solchen Künstlern standhalten. Und hier ist jetzt das Stück BHS von dem letzten Album English Tapas von Sleaford Mods. BHS von dem Album English Tapas.
And you were talking about how you feel part of a British tradition of bands, and like the next in line, so to speak. But is it surprising to you that you've made such an impact abroad, like in Germany, for example? Because it seems so quintessentially English that you think it would require maybe a certain connection to British culture to actually understand it. But it seems to have, seems to override that in some way.
Yeah, which took us by surprise. I mean, we originally, the UK didn't want to know originally. So when we hooked up with our manager, Steve, he suggested that we go over to Europe and play a few dates over there. He had some contacts, and the music seemed to be getting some attraction from promoters. And so we played a festival called the Crack Festival in Belgium, which basically is a showcase for fringe acts, new acts that have got a little bit of edge to them, something interesting, and it would attract promoters from all over Europe, you know. So we played that and it went down a storm, and that's when it kicked off. And that's when the UK press started taking notice. So it was a real surprise to us, because obviously we didn't think it would get out of Nottingham, you know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously my accent and the fact that the content, the swearing, it was aggressive. It was completely the opposite of what was considered to be the correct route to try and make it in music.
Because it just didn't seem palatable enough, I presume.
No, it, you know, it's all down, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, it was solely down to influence, solely down to my passions for hip-hop The formula that they were using, the minimalism there, and you know, a lot of hip hop around the mid 90s and still now, you know, is, or right from the start, it's just punk, you know, in a lot of respects, you know, a kind of punk that the black community created, you know what I mean? So yeah, you know, it took us by surprise totally. We just couldn't believe it, you know what I mean? It was the stuff of fairy tales. It's how I would imagine a band to kick off. It's what I read about in other bands' biographies and how, you know, overnight success came and people changed the landscape a little bit, which I think we've done, you know what I mean?
And Jason sagt, sie waren selbst von ihrem Erfolg überrascht. In England gab es erstmal gar kein Interesse an Sleeper Mods. Und ihr Manager hat den Vorschlag gemacht, dass sie sich auf den Weg machen zum europäischen Festland. Und er sagt, wir traten beim Crack Festival in Belgien auf, das als Plattform für neue skurrile Künstler bekannt ist. Wir schlugen dort wie ein Blitz ein. Daraufhin wurde die britische Presse auf uns aufmerksam. Und wir haben nicht mal geglaubt, dass wir es jemals schaffen würden, außerhalb von Nottingham zu spielen. Mein Dialekt war so speziell, der textliche Inhalt oft so extrem, die Schimpfwörter, die ich ständig verwendet habe, waren auch nicht gerade massenkompatibel. Und wir waren auch aggressiv in unserem Auftreten. Und es war das Gegenteil von dem sogenannten korrekten Weg zum Erfolg in der Musikbranche. Und er sagt, unsere steile Karriere ist wie ein Märchen. Ich habe so etwas in Biografien über andere Bands gelesen, wie sie über Nacht zum Erfolg kamen und wie Bands die kulturelle Landschaft etwas verändert hat. Was ich übrigens glaube, dass wir auch getan haben. Hier ist jetzt Stick in a Five and Go von der Sleeper Mods EP 2018. Stick in a Five and Go von der Sleeper Mods EP vom letzten Jahr.
Do you think it's been easier to cope with that success and building a career because you were older when it worked out?
We didn't start off like that, no. I had to make some amendments, personal amendments, habits, alcohol, drugs. I had to completely change my life. Which I managed to do, which again surprised not only myself but everybody else.
weren't all that stable in your younger years?
No, I wasn't at all. I was a very troubled person. So, to be able to turn that round in your early 40s is constantly being communicated to me by other people. A really good feat. You know, a massive accomplishment. What can you do?
If you've been a troubled person when you're younger, mm-hmm. and that will have inspired some music as well, because it tends to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But is there never a danger of lapsing if you are kind of, that by nature, not such an uncomplicated type?
Of course, yeah, you know. But you've just got to hold it back. You've got to think about the consequences of that and what would you gain from it. I could fall off the wagon and spend 3 days taking drugs and drinking and doing God knows what else. But then those 3 days would finish and what would I have? I would have a lot of problems. So is it worth it? No, it's not.
Yeah. Jason sagt, am Anfang war es nicht einfach. Ich musste mich ändern, um die Situation zu bewältigen, habe dann konsequent dem Alkohol und den Drogen abgesprochen. Ich musste mein Leben komplett umkrempeln, was mich selbst und auch alle anderen überrascht hat. Ich war sehr lange eine ziemlich bedrückte Person. Man lobt mich immer noch dafür, dass es mir mit Anfang 40 gelungen sei, einen solchen kompletten Wandel durchzuziehen. Und es ist schon eine stolze Leistung. Da besteht immer die Gefahr eines Rückfalls in alte Gewohnheiten. Dann denke ich aber darüber nach, was würde es mich bringen, wenn ich 3 Tage lang Drogen und Alkohol konsumieren würde. Was wäre dann nach 3 Tagen? Da hätte ich dann wieder massive Probleme. Würde es sich dann lohnen? Nein.
Und hier ist das Stück Big Bert von Sleeper Mods von dem Album Eaten Alive. Das war also Big Bert von Sleeper Mods von dem Album Eaten Alive.
And so, do you think there's any danger of you mellowing? Do you think there's any... Well, it's not like, I suppose, when you think of the state of England at the moment, or the political situation, but there is no sense of you relaxing in any way in that or getting more laid back about what you do?
I think sometimes the thing... Well, I think Eaten Alive and, you know, the last two albums, English Tapas and this one, there is a measure of that, but not too much. And I'm quite an aggressive, sort of bitter, negative person a lot of the time. I can be, and I'm very cynical about what is presented to me that is dressed in an integral manner. You question it, you have to. So... And a lot of the time these things prove, I'm proved quite right. You know, they're empty, they're just marketed empty, you know, sort of whatevers, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I don't think I'll mellow too much. It's just me, you know what I mean?
Right. And is there a song you'd like to finish off with then? A song which you think is of greater importance than the other ones, or are they all equally important to you?
You could play Negative Script from
the last track on the album.
You could play that, or OBCT. That's another perler that discusses celebrity and the absolute silliness of it, which again is obvious. You know, it's a common notion in people, but to actually be presented with, you know, meeting these people, these superstars, these rock stars, whatever, and realizing that absolutely nothing like the person that they are projected to be in all the, you know, various media outlets.
And you've met a few by now.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's about that.
Jason sagt, bei den letzten beiden Alben, English Tappers und Eaten Alive, gibt es eine gewisse Leichtigkeit, aber nur ein wenig. Grundsätzlich sei er nach wie vor eine aggressive, verbitterte, negative Person. Und er sagte, ich bin sehr zynisch in meinen Beurteilungen anderer Musik und oft habe ich recht, sagte er. Es gibt so viel hohlköpfiges Zeug auf dem Markt. Und er sagte, ich glaube nicht, dass ich wirklich mildern werde. Ich bin einfach, wie ich bin. Und zum Schluss hören wir jetzt das Stück OBCT. Und dieses Stück stellt die Albernheiten eines Promi-Lifestyles dar. Das ist zwar nichts Neues, aber Sleaford Mods haben inzwischen solche Superstars persönlich kennengelernt und sie waren erstaunt, wie sie im wirklichen Leben sind und wie wenig wahrhaftig die Berichterstattung in der Boulevardpresse über sie wirklich ist. Das ist also OBCT von Sleaford Mods, von dem Album Eaten Alive. Mein Gast war Jason Williamson von Sleaford Mods und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.